You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Casey Houston. We talk about Casey's unique journey through the education system as an adult, as a student, as a parent. Schooling can be a particularly polarizing topic. There's a lot of variety among the listeners on their own schooling. And for sure, not everybody listening has kids in school. But I still think this will be an interesting story for you to listen to because it includes the experience and opinions of the adults in the family as they were in school, and then the experience of the kids and the parents, a shift in opinion by a parent, and then finally, a loop-de-loop switcheroo, which put Casey right back where she thought she'd never actually want to be. And along the way, we touch on her love of reading and a shout out to the gourmet magnificence of something that I think of as a very American meal, chicken fried steak with potatoes and gravy. How did we get there? You have to listen to find out. Are you ready? I'm ready. All right, let's do this. Casey Houston, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yay, are you ready for a great conversation?
I am so excited.
Me too. Let's do it. All right. I start all the interviews by asking people where in the world they are. Where are they calling in from? So tell us where you are today.
Yeah, I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So I've lived here for 15 years now.
15 years. Tulsa is part of Tornado Alley, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So I went to college in the Midwest, but I never saw a tornado up close. I saw the damage afterwards, but I never saw anything up close. I never lived through it, just heard the sirens. So,
yes, I've been blessed. We really have never been hit, and you know, praise God, but
that's right.
There's been a lot of towns around us, obviously, that just get tore up sometimes.
Yeah, it's
And
brutal.
So it is tornado season.
Oh, this is the season. I didn't even think of that. Okay, yeah. So we're recording this sort of in the middle of March. All right. So I'd love to learn a little bit about you outside of your family and your work. Tell us if you've got a pastime or a hobby that you'd be willing to share with us.
I read a lot.
Yeah.
That's probably honestly my guilty pleasure. So I only allow myself books certain times because I will stay up late. It would be 3 in the morning because I just have to finish a book.
What types of books do you like to read? Like what genre? What like?
Really any. I do go for the, I don't, I wouldn't call them thrillers. I like those ones that have, you know, some kind of mystery, family drama, and now a big secret's been revealed.
All right. So this is pleasure reading. This is pleasure reading from home. This is not how to build a birdhouse on your Saturday.
No.
Very good. All right. So now to get to the topic of the day that you proposed, I am describing this as your circuitous relationship with schools and homeschooling and then back again. How does that sound?
Sounds about right. Yes.
All right. So let's back way up and talk about young Casey. What did you think you might want to be as an adult when you were younger, when you were in high school or maybe even in college? Did you have an idea of a job or profession that you wanted to pursue?
I didn't want to do anything.
Okay.
I had zero desire to be responsible at all. I wanted to live in a van and just roam around. That was
Really? So
yes.
You were into van life way back then. It took the pandemic to get me interested in van life. During lockdown, I was on a van life YouTube adventure. I was like, ooh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, I did. I mean, even when I was 17, that was my big goal. I just wanted to live in a van and travel around and, you know, not be a responsible adult. That wasn't what I was looking for in life.
Well, I bet you that snuck up on you then, because adulthood has a way of doing that. Okay, so your story about school and schooling and education involves your kids. So let's fill in a couple of the gaps without getting too personal and spilling their deep, dark secrets. How many kids do you have?
I have 2 kids.
Two kids. All right. Are you willing to share like roughly how old they are now? They're
Sure
older.
thing.
They're grown, right?
They're grown adults now. So Sunny Boy is 21, and the Flower Child will be 20 in just next week.
All right. So you're on the other side of this education journey, pretty much. All right. So I know from your intake form that this story begins when your son, Sunny Boy, was in elementary school. And you felt like maybe there was some stuff happening. He wasn't getting the words you used were he wasn't getting the support that he needed. So without, again, out getting too personal and spilling any dirty laundry, do you want to share a little bit about what was going on?
Sure. So what was going on was he was reading. He could read very well. He couldn't comprehend anything that he was reading. So every time I would go and talk to the teacher, because he was to the point it where, he should have been reading the directions on his work and completing the work. And he was reading directions and he was completing work. But say the directions said, circle a noun. Well, he understood he was supposed to be circling something. And so he's circling
Just whatever
all
he
kinds
wanted to
of things.
serve.
And so, he would come home and bring it home. And I said, "What are you doing? You know what a noun is." And he's like, "Yeah." Okay. The directions are circle a noun. Oh, right. So, but he could not understand it for the life of him if he was reading it. So I kept talking to his teacher and she kept saying, "Oh, he reads fine." I said, "Ma'am, I know he reads fine. He doesn't understand it. And now he's messing up all his work because he doesn't understand what he's reading." And she just kept telling me, "He's fine. He's fine. He reads fine." And then started in with, "You need to take him to a doctor and get him on medication." "For what?" And she just kept coming back and telling me he needed medication and this and that. And I said, "It has nothing to do with needing medication. It has to do with he doesn't comprehend anything he's reading." And I finally just said, I'm done.
So
I'm
this
done.
sounds like this was second or third grade.
Third grade.
Third grade. Yeah, that's where that transition starts, like where you go from just reading and saying the words out loud, phonetics, right? Which I don't even know if they still teach phonetics, but however they teach little kids to read. And then there's a shift where they begin to ask you, what did you read? And you're expected to do that. And then the next shift is compound directions. I only know that I'm not a teacher, right? You are a teacher. I am not a teacher. But I know this from walking my kids through it because those are the break and my stepkids, those are the breaking points. Kids hit them at different levels, right? And I've never wanted to be a teacher ever, ever. Right. And so, but those I have had just the really scientific measurement of how many conversations I've had with people about these things over the last 25 years is 1 billion. It's like I understand the directions, but they're not following them, which I don't follow directions well either. But then the compound thing, which is like two steps and they only do one. All of those things. So anyway, I don't think this is an uncommon thing that happens between educators and parents in a million different formats. There's no right or wrong way that it unfolds. And I think it happens everywhere, which I just will highlight, like you and I are in different states. Our kids are different ages. There's nothing in common here, but it's a scenario that definitely happens. What was it? So you got frustrated. And how did you go from frustrated to finished to making the decision to homeschool?
Well, so the beauty of Oklahoma is that homeschooling here is very free. We don't have oversight and laws and such that are really going to mess with you, per se. Other states are different. Every state is different. And so there's actually a lot of homeschool families that move here to Oklahoma because of our homeschool laws. We don't have that oversight that a lot of other states have.
So, did you
So
know other people that were homeschooling?
I didn't at the time, no.
Okay. All right. So, how did you, what did you know about homeschooling?
I knew this went back way up to when I was pregnant in the first place. And I told the kid's dad, I said, listen, I don't want our kids going to public school. I don't like the public education system per se. And he had been homeschooled.
Okay, so there was a little bit of a connection within your family to say, okay. Did he, how, what
Yeah,
was his, did he
he
like
was
being
homeschooled
homeschooled?
in the 90s when it wasn't popular. And so, no, he hated it.
Okay.
He hated it. And he said, we are never homeschooling these kids. And so we had made this agreement that we would send them to private school. And then, he and I divorced, and finances did not allow private school
Okay, because
whenever.
I was going to ask whether or not you considered any other options.
Oh, yeah, listen, I looked into private schools. They're crazy expensive. And I said, well, at that point, I would just be working to send the kids to school. I just feel like I could do a better job home.
All right. So he's still pretty young at this point, your son, when you're doing that. Elementary school is predominantly ABCs, ones, two, threes. And all right. And so at this point, when you make this decision, then you're divorced.
Yes.
Was there pushback from your co-parent?
Yes.
I don't know if that, I don't, those of you watching the video will see the face she made, but there was, it was like, why? Yes, there was, Amy. Yes, there was a little bit of pushback there. All right. So that's not the story we're telling today, but I get the
No.
idea that there might be a story there. All right. So you decide that you think you're pretty sure that you could do a better job of this at home. I will share that that has never been. That has never been where I weighed in on this, which I learned during lockdown. I was like, oh, all those times I wondered if I would be good at homeschooling. Turns out I was right. No, I rely on other people to do this for me. But when, what would you say? So, what would you say was the most challenging thing at the start of homeschooling? Like, what were the things that you had to do that were hard at the beginning?
At the beginning, the hardest thing for me was just making sure I understood what I needed to do on my end. So, pulling the kids from school and making sure that I did it right so that I'm not going to get in trouble,
Okay.
right?
So
So,
just
I
like the paperwork with the state or the county or the whatever the region is. All right, very good. How did you do research on curriculums and how did you figure out what you were going to teach?
Oh yeah, I did a ton of research. I did a ton of research on curriculums. And honestly, that first year of homeschooling, because I knew where we were lacking, it was a year where we focused so much on reading comprehension. And we covered other things, but they were not at the forefront of what I was trying to teach that year. Because I felt if we never get this covered and we never figure it out, we are never going to get anywhere.
Right. So this is the beginning of a series of things. If the teacher is there, if the teacher had come back and been more receptive to your feedback and addressed the situation, would you have proceeded forward, do you think?
Ooh, good question. I had had probably 2 years already with that school. A lot of this had started in second grade with his teacher. And so, as we were getting into third grade with the teacher and still having issues, at that point, I was just done.
So yeah, because it's no, it's like a, it's something that you were working up to, and so by the time that this can't this happened, you had pre-made the decision in some ways.
Yes.
Yeah,
Yes.
I think the reason I asked the question was not actually to challenge what you did or your decision, but for people who I think it's impossible to go through the education cycle of primary education K through 12 without having a conversation with the administration about what's happening in the school. Like, I think that I just don't think I, even if I was doing it all myself, I'd be having conversations with myself about it, right? You know, I think that that's impossible. And so I wanted to open it up. It's like, what is that? Because this begins with, hey, I've got feedback about how my kid is doing. And then you decided to pull your kid. Now, so the question was, you know, is there a spot in there where they could have come back and said, hey, yeah, we're going to do whatever it might be and work to bring your kid up to speed, where you would have been like, thank you. And I'm going to Dairy Queen.
I mean, honestly, if there had ever been a time when they would have said, you know what, we see what you're talking about. We're going to try this and we're going to try that. I would say, great, we have a plan. That's
Okay.
all I'm looking for, a plan.
All
And you
right.
don't
I think
have
this, yeah. All right. I think that's helpful. I think that's helpful because, it definitely happens. The four kids came through this house. There's every single one of them has had a point where they were not aligned with the curriculum. Your son was in second grade, but my favorite conversations with educators, I think, are the ones where you've got a middle school age kid and they're like, yeah, they're disorganized. And I'm like, wow, it's almost like they're in middle school. Like, and this is what they're learning to do. And the first three kids, I was very accommodating. By the time we got to the fourth one, I was like, yeah, I really kind of feel like if you're the professional dealing with middle schoolers, I shouldn't be showing up and saying, I think this is age appropriate. What are you going to do? You know, like, yes. And let's, what are we going to do? Let's make a plan. Okay. So anyway, what was, okay. So you, while you were homeschooling, an interesting thing happened. You decided to go back to school. How did that happen?
So it was once I started homeschooling, and then we get involved with homeschool groups, and we've really just thrown ourselves into this. My kids were, gosh, I want to say they were just hitting middle school age. And it's when I realized my entire life, from my social life to what I do outside of the home, and everything is wrapped up in my kids and homeschooling. And what's going to happen here in 5 years when I'm not homeschooling anymore? And that's when it hit me. I need to be doing something for myself also, not just for the kids. Because that's what my life was. It was just, and I don't say that in a bad way, right? I loved every minute of it. But that's where my life was at. It was about the kids and what was best for them and making sure we're doing all the things. And so I needed to refocus and realize I was going to have a life once these kids were gone. And what was it going to look like?
Yeah, no, I think that, and I did not take that as a negative statement. I think that little kids require a lot of hands-on involvement, a lot of care, and it is very easy and not necessarily a bad thing to become very enmeshed. It's like their life is your life, and that there's very little separation. But I think that it is a transition. People hit it at different points, about where there's separation. Middle school. Well, high school actually is where the kids begin to pull away. Like adolescence, right? The kids have their aunt begin to pull away. So you were early. You were an early learner. You're like, oh my gosh. When my kids were in middle school, I was more like, this is never going to end. Like, I was like so into it. And I was like, this is like never going to end. And then one of them like started driving and I was like, oh, wait a second. I can see the finish line. I was like, wait a minute. There is a finish line. So I was like, so it was completely different. Okay. So, what did you study when you went back to school?
That's funny. I went back to school, and my big plan was I was going to go back to school for dietitian.
Okay.
And so that's what I started out at. And there was a big part of me that wanted to go and follow to be a holistic doctor.
Okay.
So this was the big plan. And then I got into school and I took my first nutrition class. And I hated it.
There you go. New plan, pivot.
New plan. So I started back and I said, okay. And I went to my advisor and I said, listen, I hate nutrition. I don't think I can do this. And she said, okay. Now, mind you, when I first went in there, she's like, so you're coming for education? I was like, no, absolutely not. I don't want to be a teacher.
I've been a teacher. I am a teacher. I am teaching.
And said, okay. So then again, she says, so are we going to go ahead and switch to education? I was like, no. No, we are not. Anything else, please. So she set me up on communication.
Okay.
So I start studying communications and it gets into mass communications. And I realize how much I hate social media. I do not like to have to work on social media.
That's so good. That's so good. So so I studied mass communications, but we didn't have social media yet. So that was not part of my, so this was not all that long ago, actually. Okay. So you get in there and you're like, all right, I hate this too.
Yes, I was like, oh my gosh, trying to listen to everybody on social media. I don't think I can do this. So I go back and I said, there's got to be something else. And she said, I don't know why you're fighting this so much. Please, can we just move you to education? I said, at this point, I'll take a couple classes and see. But I'm not going to guarantee anything. And I started taking the classes and I just like, oh, I love this. I love learning all about the brain development and how it all interconnects. And I do love teaching. I do. And
Why do you
I
think
know
you were
I do.
so resi Why do you think you were so resistant?
Because I hate public education.
Okay. So because you, it's the resistance that you had to public. Now, did you grow up in public school? What was your schooling background? You went to public school. All right. So your experience in public education as a student might be what colors the beginning of this story, where you knew that you weren't a big fan.
No, I don't want to say I had a bad school experience. I went to a small town school. My teachers had been my parents' teachers. You know,
All right.
it's one of those kind of small towns. And everything was fine. I guess I'm just against the government having control of what the kids are taught.
Okay. All right. Very good. So, but you, and then you go to school and you learn, you t study education, and the, you're at the same, and you're resistant to it, but you fall into it, you realize that you love it. The same time, you're still, how much of this overlaps? Like, how long were you homeschooling and in school for the same amount at the same time?
Yeah, so it was 5 years.
5 years. All right. So it was a pretty good time. So almost like they did, was there like a symmetry where they were wrapping up their schooling and you were at the same time, roughly, like you guys all sort of wrapped it up in the same couple of years?
My son and I graduated the same year.
All right, that is very that's a lot. That's fun. That is a lot of fun. All right, so now though, to complete the circle, what do you do now?
I'm a teacher at a public school.
At public school. So you start with public school. You say you're not a fan. You put your kids in public school. It doesn't go well. You pull your kids out. You homeschool. You do like that better. You go back to school. You don't want to be a teacher. You try a bunch of other things. You realize that you do love education, and then you get a job back. So you homeschool your kids all the way up, and then you go back to work in a public school as a teacher. The circuitous story of Casey and education.
Oh,
So
yes.
that's how it goes. That's how it goes. I love that this is a circle.
I know, it just circles back, it circles back.
Now, does your how you feel about public school shift a little bit now that you're involved as part of the process?
You know, there are so many at my school, and I'm sure at the schools across America, right? There's so many teachers that are doing amazing jobs, and they care so much about the kids, and we're doing the best that
Yeah.
we can.
Yeah. It's good that
And
you said that because I mean, I can be critical of, the teachers over the years and stuff like that, but those are little tiny snapshots along the way. Little tiny snapshots along the way. And when things are going well, you don't show up and say, "Hey, yay," like this is the way it is. And I like I did say I've always been very appreciative to the people who are running the schools that my kids go to, that they're delivering the curriculum and not me, because it is not it's not my thing. One time, when the kids were little, this story cracks me up so much. One of my kids had a worksheet, and it was a math worksheet. And I'm sitting right next to my kid doing it, and it's like, why is this? Why is this the answer? And he's looking to me as the adult in the situation to know the answer. And this is elementary math. It's like addition or subtraction. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, I don't think that anybody, I don't remember anybody ever asking me the why for a math question. I'm like totally lost. I'm totally lost. And I'm like, math? I don't know, what is the answer? Because subtraction? I mean, I was completely confused. And so we write down something ridiculous. And then I like communicated with the teacher. I was like, I do not understand what this question was. And I mean, it was such a weird thing because I was like, I knew that they would pass me in math. I didn't think it would be in elementary school.
listen, I teach first grade math, and there are times right now where I will be teaching something and I have to teach it according to the book. And I want the kids to have all the tools, right? Because you don't know how everybody's brain works differently, and so they're gonna connect with something. And so we've been doing regrouping in math.
Right, which not everybody gets.
Hard. And so we've been teaching it a certain way, a certain way. And so many of my kids are just, I miss you, son. I don't understand. I'm like, I know, guys. Well, finally, I said, listen, I'm going to show you guys how Miss Houston learned this and just break it down this way. And so I showed it to them. And all of a sudden, they were all like, why didn't you show us that earlier?
We've had a version of that in our house. Usually that's division. So it's like they're teaching the different ways of division, and there are some engineers in my family who've lectured me on why we teach things this way. And I'm like, that's great. I fully buy into this system. And then but you get to the point, you're like, listen, I'm going to do it the way I know how to do it. Then check the answer, and then and the kid's like, why don't you teach me that way? And I'm like, well, that's not the way they teach it to you. So this is the secret adult way over here on the post-it note. But yeah, there's a difference, right, between teaching people a method to do something and teaching people to understand what they're doing, which is like, which is why I'm not a teacher, right? I can talk to you about how a word sounds, but I'm not the person to explain to you the phonetics of why it sounds that way.
Yes.
So that is very good, and there's that. All right, so I love that it's a circle. In a minute we're going to do the final questions. I also love that you're open to tell this story as the full circle, is I think that that is really interesting. And but I want to give you a chance to tell people about what your podcast is about, because you have a podcast. So tell us about that and how they can find it.
I do, yeah. So my sister and I have a podcast. It's her and I discussing our life lessons that we've learned over the years and, how we've grown personally from them. And sometimes it's serious, sometimes it's just a little silly. It's called Adulthood is a Project. And you can find us on, we're on all the listening platforms. So.
Very, very cool. So I'll put some links in the show notes and in the email that goes out for this, so that you can find Casey's show. I was definitely attracted to it because I talk about adulting and you talk about adulthood, and I like that those have similarities. So there's that. All right. Are you ready? It's time for the three questions.
Ready.
You're ready? All right, very good. These are just for fun. Okay. If you had to pick one meal, and just one, as your very favorite meal of all time, what would you choose?
Oh, that's hard. I love food. Maybe let me go with chicken fried steak and mashed potatoes with gravy.
That is like the most Midwestern meal. That is so fantastic. That is what, so when I travel back to the Midwest, there are a couple of things that I always make sure to try and do. One is biscuits and sausage gravy, right? Because that's like, I mean, you can also get that in the South, but I think of it as a Midwestern thing. But chicken fried steak with potatoes and gravy to me is very Midwestern. To me, that's like Kansas, Iowa, Oklahoma. Delicious. Don't tell your cardiologist that's what you're having for dinner. All right. When you are invited to a celebration like a potluck where everybody has to bring something, what is the go-to thing that you usually bring?
I like to make it's a 7-layer Greek dip.
Seven-layer Greek dip. Oh, I love that. I know somebody who brings a seven-layer Mexican dip. What's in a seven-layer Greek dip?
So it's cream cheese with like lemon and dill, and then
Okay.
hummus, your red peppers, your olives, your feta cheese. What else do I put in there? I don't have the recipe sitting in front of me.
No, but that gives me an idea. Probably some olives, if you didn't say that. Okay, so that's what that's. And then what do you serve it with? Is it like pita chips?
Chips.
Pita chips. All right. I've never seen that at a gathering, but I bet you that sounds anything with a cream cheese based dip sounds pretty good hit. Okay, very good.
Just.
So this is going to either be a good question or it's going to totally flop. As a teacher in schools, what is the wildest thing that you have ever seen a parent do? Or heard a parent do, seen or heard a parent do.
I mean, I've seen a parent have a physical altercation with a teacher.
Oh, with a teacher. Yeah. I saw two adults get into it like during a Halloween parade. Little kids Halloween parade. They got into an absolute physical fight, and I was like, whoa. There is not the judgment call I would have suggested. Okay.
Then it explains so much about the child and their child's behavior.
That people will do, but that, yeah, I saw that's one of my that is the memory that I had as someone who had limited experience in schools, that I was like, oh my God, these teachers, they probably see the worst of us. Like, I mean, the worst, because you guys have an entire student body for year after year after year. So I was like, because you think about that, right? You think about people who see stuff. I think about first responders, they see crazy stuff. People who see you at the low point, but teachers do not always see us at our best.
It's so true.
So that is what inspired that question. All right. Casey, thank you so much. You've been a wonderful guest on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed myself.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself. Head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.